Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while,
we gotta the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up. Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. Hey, I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio, and we are going to head out to Kennesaw State University. Just a moment to listen in as Todd speaks with unsuspecting students. Unsuspecting of what? Todd, for one.
How providential is this? Was just looking to buy a house and I bump into Mateo, the real estate agent. Dude, you're going to school and you're a real estate agent.
Yes, that's right.
You're an overachiever and you're from Ecuador. Tell me, in Ecuador, how does living there compare to living here in Georgia?
Well, Ecuador is a beautiful country. I really enjoy living there. I came here to the United States for school purposes and also because there's more job here opportunity, and I want to pursue my real estate license, and I did it.
Tell me everything you know about the Easter holiday.
Well, Easter, I know a bunch of families like to celebrate here. Unfortunately, in Ecuador, we don't celebrate it. We don't do like a party for it. We have another culture. So I don't really have much to tell about it. I just know people here enjoy it, and especially kids, because I know with the bunny and the candies. And so
that kind of surprises me, because I would have thought Ecuador is a Roman Catholic country. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, actually. They're my people over there. They're pretty Catholic. I am Catholic as well.
Oh, wait a second. You're Catholic and you don't know what Easter is?
Well, actually, I think I'm a bad Catholic now that you're saying that. Yeah. Maybe I just didn't pay a lot of attention, but, I try to go to church every Sunday. I actually went this Sunday, but I don't really go too much into, what Easter is and all, the details.
Right. So Easter is probably the most important holiday in the Christian calendar. It's like the biggest deal, bigger than Christmas, bigger than any other day that Christians celebrate. It's the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Have you ever heard about that?
Yes.
Actually, okay, so you know something about it.
I know something about it. Maybe I just didn't catch just the name, maybe in Spanish. I will say you would call it like the resurrection of Jesus.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, I know about it. Yeah.
Okay. So you call it maybe it was just a language barrier issue. Yeah. We call it Easter. You call it Resurrection Sunday in Ecuador?
Easter. Let me think for a word in Spanish. Is Pascua. That's what it is. Yep. El Domingo de Pascua. Yep.
What does Pascua mean? I think I know.
Pascua. I don't know exactly what the word means. I can like Google it. I pretty much. That's what I
do. All right. The Resurrection Sunday, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. What was the meaning? What was the point of all of that?
The point of the resurrection. So basically, I can think as people were maybe sorry for all that happened, and I think it's more like an experience of how superior God is in Jesus, and He showed people of the mercy that He has, and He rose.
Mateo, let me take you down a path for a moment and see if you track with me. All right, and we'll see if we can maybe come up with something that's more significant, more important about Easter, all right? You're a young man, but someday, no doubt, like the rest of us, you'll die and you stand before God. What is God going to say to you, or what will He do with you when He judges you for your life on earth?
I think He's going to be impressed, and He's gonna be also probably merciful, because try to be honest, I'm not perfect like a human, but I think he'll be happy to see all that I achieved in my life, and not just about material things, but also internal I've worked a lot, and I consider myself an honest person.
Can I test you on that theory? You said you're an honest person. Have you ever told any lies in your life?
Absolutely.
All right. So if you've told lies, that would actually make you a dishonest person, wouldn't it?
Exactly. We can talk about this like the relative truth. So, you know, for someone can be something truth, for someone else it can be different. It's something that it's probably hard to understand at one point, but you know, nobody is saying the truth like 100%.
I totally agree with you. I think we're all the same.
Sometimes you can be saying the truth, but for someone else can be lying, right? So it goes to that. So I'm being honest by saying that I say lies, but at the same time, you know, you're lying because you say lies. So it's some of those things that you don't know.
So me too. I've told lies, way too many lies. I lied to my parents when I was a kid. I lied to teachers just to get myself off the hook, to protect myself. I would kind of shade the truth a little bit. And I think we all do that. All right. You talked about like inside in your thinking. Speaking of parents, did you always obey your parents?
No.
Jesus said, "You've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart." Mateo, have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Wow, that's a tough question. I didn't intend to do it that way, but it probably, you know, I've lived 26 years now, so that's a lot of years.
So guilty of that also. All right, what about ever using God's name in vain? Do you know what that means, using God's name? Have you ever done that, used God's name as a curse word?
No, I don't like to curse or swear words or swear like God this. No, I don't. Not in Spanish or in English. No.
Good on you. All right. So here's what we've learned, Mateo. That if God opens the books on you and he knows your thought life, he knows everything you've done, whether people have seen it or not, and he judges you based on the knowledge that you've lied, that you didn't honor your parents, you've looked with lust, perhaps you've taken things that didn't belong to you, desired things that weren't yours, all violations of God's commandments. Do you think God would see you, Mateo, as innocent or guilty if he judges you by the statutes of his laws? Innocent or guilty?
I think it pretty much comes down to how I act when I'm in front of him, because like the Bible says, I don't know exactly where, but if you're sorry of the acts that you committed, the things that you know that are wrong, he's going to forgive you. So I know that for all the bad that I've done, if I truly feel sorry about it, I think he is going to be okay with that and he's going to be happy with me.
Let me reason with you. Let's say a criminal appears before a judge on earth, and the judge knows that he's guilty. He's going to sentence him as a guilty criminal, but the criminal says, "But Your Honor, I'm sorry. I should not have done those things." It's good that the criminal is sorry, but that does not remove the guilt of his crimes. And even though the judge maybe sees the criminal crying and saying that he's sorry, the criminal still has to pay for the crimes that he's committed. So being sorry isn't enough to get you off the hook. Same thing would be true with God. You stand before God, you're 26 years, the things that you've done wrong that he knows about, even though you might be sorry, if you're guilty, wouldn't a good judge have to sentence you to jail? Shouldn't God send guilty criminals to hell instead of to heaven?
You are right, but I think the difference here is that the judge has to obey a set of laws made for humans, right? So he just has to follow them, and you, just for being sorry as a delinquent, you're just not gonna, you know, be free. I think whereas God's eyes, if you know, that I think it's different, and like we can compare that to a human situation, because he's God, right? So he made his own rules, and that this thing that I said about, you know, if you're sorry in front of him when you're dying, he forgives you. I mean, that's what it says in the Bible. and he probably wants to give one more chance to people that are truly sorry. I'm not saying like probably someone in front of a judge says, I'm sorry, but they probably, you don't know if they are or not. God probably knows if you're truly sorry, and that's why he takes his decision. Like, that's how he makes it. I that's why.
All right, I've got a Bible verse for you. The Bible says all liars, all fornicators, so people who even lust, all adulterers, all blasphemers, all thieves, will have their part in a lake of fire. It is appointed unto man to die once, and then comes judgment. The Bible says lying lips are an abomination to God, and God judges us when we die. And if he finds us guilty, because he's just, because he loves the law, he must punish lawbreakers. He must. Otherwise, he wouldn't be just. He'd be a bad judge. Now, let's see if we can break the tension that perhaps you're feeling right now. Because if you and I stood before God, as is, we'd be guilty and we'd be headed to hell.
And that's the law. And Mateo is, I wouldn't necessarily say pushing back, but like Todd said, there's some tension there. And we're going to listen in as Todd goes farther in the gospel with Mateo. That's next on Wretched Radio. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Mark your calendars for February 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll be able to join Fortis Institute fellow Et Libby Glosson and author Martha Pease for an exclusive webinar, A Joy-Filled Marriage. Your partnership as gospel partners makes events like this possible. You can visit FortisInstitute.org right now to register for this transformative webinar and learn how you can become an ongoing monthly gospel partner today. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical. But on The Better Way with Libby Glosson, you're going to find something rare. Intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glosson. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
We cannot disengage from the battle, and there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
What do you get when you combine eight of today's most trusted Christian voices with a commitment to unwavering biblical truth? Well, of course, you get Fortis Institute, your daily source for spiritual strength. We're not offering opinions here. We're providing a fortress of biblical wisdom for these challenging times that we're all living in. The best part? It's all free. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now and join our community of believers who refuse to be tossed to and fro by the cultural wave. Because in times like these, we need more than just information. We need transformation.
Know your church fathers. Basil of Caesarea was the bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. He was a defender of orthodoxy and wrote several important works proving the divinity of the Holy Spirit and refuting the Arian heresy. Most importantly, he introduced the Trinitarian formula, describing God as one being and three persons.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And welcome back to Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. And when we broke, we were listening in as Todd was sharing the gospel with Mateo from Ecuador. The law and our standing before God had just been presented to Mateo, but there is more to this story.
If you and I stood before God, as is, we'd be guilty and we'd be headed to hell. Let's go back to Easter. Jesus Christ is God, who took on a human flesh, and he lived 33 years without ever breaking the laws. He never lusted. He never lied. He never dishonored his parents. He always did what was right because he was God in the flesh. And then he was brutally beaten, nailed to a cross. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. That's Easter. There was something that was happening there. There was a reason for all of that. It's not just kind of a gruesome story. Jesus Christ came to this earth on a mission to live the perfect life you and I can't live and to die the death that you and I should die forever in hell. So Jesus, while on the cross, was taking the wrath you deserve on himself. And in exchange, Jesus then can forgive you and give you all of his goodness, all the times that he kept the laws. He'll give that to you. So you give him all of your crimes, and he gives you all of his goodness. That's what was happening the weekend of Easter. Jesus was dying on behalf of sinners, so that when you stand before God, rather than being found guilty, God will see you as innocent because Jesus Christ paid your fine by dying for sinners. That's what Easter is about. The payment for your sins took place. And then when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that was as if it were the receipt for the payment to the Father. So that's what Easter is about, Mateo, so that you can actually be forgiven, because the truth is, we're not good.
Now, actually, that you mentioned that, then I know what Easter is, because I know a little bit about that story that you were telling us right now. And all that I knew is he died and he gave his blood away so we can go to heaven. Back in the day, when before Jesus Christ, right, they had to kill animals and offer them, right? So God can give forgiveness to the people. And I think that's pretty much what he did with us. So we can stop that and, you know, be safe and go to heaven.
No, you're exactly right. In fact, on Thursday before Easter, it's called Passover. It's a Jewish holiday. It's in the Old Testament. This is when the Jewish people lived in the land of Egypt and God delivered them from death. If they would take lamb's blood and put it on their doorposts, death would pass over. Are you familiar with the Passover story?
No.
Well, that's basically it. The Jewish people were in Egypt, and God was delivering them. He sent 10 plagues to Pharaoh, right? Do you remember the plagues? Okay. And the last one was death of the firstborn. But God said to the Jewish people, if you will put the blood of a lamb on your doorpost, death will pass over. That was Thursday night before Jesus died, because he's our Passover lamb. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So, Mateo, here's the crucial part of our conversation. So after we talked a little bit, you understand what Easter is, what Resurrection Sunday is. But here's the big issue, though. Forgiveness is available to you, to me, to everyone. But how do you get forgiven by God? How do you receive mercy from God because of Jesus Christ? What does the Bible say that you must do to be made right with God?
I'm not 100% sure, but all I can think of is, you know, follow the rules written in the Bible.
I got something better for you. The problem is we can't follow the rules. That's our problem.
We're human.
We're exactly. We are human, and we can't follow the rules. And the Bible actually contradicts our thinking that we're good people. The Bible says nobody does good, not one. Even though we like to say we're good, in God's eyes, we're not. And we need mercy. We need grace. We need forgiveness. And Jesus Christ offers it to you as a free gift. He will grant you everlasting life if you will turn from your sins and put your trust in him, believe in him, just like you believe in a parachute that it could save you. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Totally free gift. Then, Mateo, then you'll try to keep the rules, not in order to be forgiven, but because you've already been forgiven. The good news of the gospel is complete forgiveness, that you'll be adopted into God's family. And as an adopted son, God will never abandon you. He'll never cast you off. He'll never send you to hell because you're adopted because of Jesus Christ. If you will put your trust in him, not works, faith alone, in Christ alone. Jesus said to a man one day that you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of God. Mateo, have you been born again?
I can take the born again like a change from bad to good. Is that correct? Is that what you're asking me?
Well, we have to figure out what it means to be born again. Because obviously you're not going back into your mother's womb. You can't do that. So it's not a physical rebirth. It's a spiritual rebirth. Earlier you said something, Mateo. You said that when you stand before God, he's going to be pretty pleased with you, that you've done well overall, right? The Bible says the exact opposite. We confuse our goodness. We think it's good because we tend to compare ourselves to bad people or to criminals. But when we compare ourselves to God, perfection, and holiness, we're not good at all. And only when we realize that, when we come to the conclusion, God is right, I'm wrong, I'm not good, I'm bad, I'm done trying to please God with my works, and you turn to Jesus Christ and you believe in him and his works, that's what it means to be born again. You come to the end of yourself, you die to your self-righteousness, and you put your trust in Jesus, and God says that he'll make you born again, he'll make you alive in Christ, where you trust Jesus, not yourself, not your own goodness, but you trust in his son's goodness. That's what it means to be born again. So then I'd ask it this way, Mateo, have you come to that conclusion? You're a bad man, Jesus is a good savior, and you need him.
I agree with you. I know I'm not perfect. I'm human, but you know, I will say that it will be hard to know if you, I'm 100% sure I'm reborn, right? I don't think we can judge that to ourselves.
Have you ever been really close to dying in a car accident?
I had one car accident. It was rear-ended. It was just fast, but it wasn't.
You didn't fear for your life.
I didn't have time.
Imagine, you know, if you were ever confronted with death, somebody was going to try to kill you, or you were going to get hit by a car, but you escaped death. You remember that because it's a big deal. You almost died. Being born again is similar. When you realize, man, if I get judged by God, I'm going to hell. I'm going to die forever. But then when you hear that Jesus already died for you and he saves you and he snatches you out of the jaws of death to give you life, that's as memorable as almost being killed in a car accident. So my challenge to you today, Mateo, you're mature, you're 26, so you kind of got things figured out in life. You're settled. I would plead with you today to think about two things. Is it true when the Bible says you're not a good person? If you're judged by God, okay, not based on keeping the laws or not selling homes and not being dishonest, no, God demands perfection. And I would encourage you to be willing to think about the state of your soul based on perfection. And if you conclude the Bible is right when it says, I'm an unclean person, I need a blood sacrifice, and if you then believe that Jesus Christ is that blood sacrifice for you, then I would beg you to put your trust in him, because you don't know when you might be taken out in a car accident. You don't know when you might die. And more than that, Mateo, this isn't so much just about getting out of hell. because that's a terrifying thought. Let's be honest. This is more about God died to save sinners, and you can know him and you can be forgiven by him. You can pray to him and talk to him. You can learn about him from the Bible. You can be in a relationship with God, who is the best being in the universe. That's why you should think about putting your trust in Jesus Christ, because he's the best thing there is. So I would simply ask you today, as you go about your business on the campus, thinking about your clients in real estate, this is more urgent and more important for you today to ponder. Because if it's true that Jesus died and rose from the dead, you've got a day of judgment coming, and he's willing to save you from that day today. Fair enough?
Fair enough. Thank you so much. You remind me everything about Eastern, because I didn't know I knew. And yeah, I really like the analogy about Eastern.
And you know, not to come across as sounding too harsh, but Easter, not an analogy to like. It is an account of a factual event to believe. So let's all pray for Mateo. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.